Parenting can be an incredibly difficult job. It's very emotional and it can be physically challenging. Just feeding, clothing, and scheduling your children can seem overwhelming at times. Now imagine having to do all of that in a new country, where many don't speak your language, where few, if any, of your family and friends are there to support you. Welcome to Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones, Executive Director of SCAN of Northern Virginia, and my guest today is Shirley Jones, a parent educator with Hispanics Against Child Abuse and Neglect, or HACAN. Parents who have immigrated to the United States face a special set of challenges as they raise their children in our diverse region. Join us today as we talk about some of those challenges, how parents can seek support, and what communities can do to provide support. Thank you for joining us today, Shirley.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So when we talk about immigrant parents, who are we talking about?
We're talking about mothers and fathers and sometimes couples that are coming from different places in the world. The population I work with are mostly Hispanic parents, and they're coming from several different countries in Central and South America.
So more than 24% of children in the United States, or about 17 million kids, have at least one foreign-born parent, or one parent comes from another country. So we're talking about a significant number of kids. And we know parenting is not an easy job. So in your parenting classes, what are some of the most difficult challenges that parents who are immigrants face?
What I find to be most difficult is the separation. When the parent came to the States, sometimes they left the kids at home with grandmothers and aunts and uncles. And so they've been out of their children's lives for 2 to 4 to 6 years. And getting a 10-year-old that you left at 1 or 2 is very challenging. It's very difficult. So the separation is a big problem. And like you said before, also the cultural norms, the rules, and the resources. And so when the child meets the parent, then it's complicated.
It's complicated. And the child is a different person because they don't stop growing during
yes.
that time, right?
Yes. And the mother and father tend to want to treat that 10-year-old like a 2-year-old because that's where they stop. Yeah. So they're trying to do the things for a 2-year-old, and the 10-year-old is independent or has attained some independence.
And oftentimes, I'm sure there may be new siblings that the 10-year-old example has never met, or maybe even a new step-parent in the picture.
That's also true. The parent, the one parent that the child is joining, has attained a new relationship and probably new children. And then it gets really complicated, because the American-born child or children speak English and they know their way around. The newly arrived child or children can't speak English and is completely lost and jealous.
And we know from research that isolation, when a parent feels isolated, they're at much higher risk for child abuse and for being overwhelmed with their parenting role. And I can only imagine that immigrant parents often feel particularly isolated.
That's so true, Sonia. They are isolated because of the language, because of everything. And so they're just trying to cope the best way they can. And so they need a lot of support and a lot of help to attain some degree of safety.
And so if not only are they separated from maybe extended family or mothers or older sisters who might have been sort of an informal parenting support, but they may feel less comfortable in the school or turning to sort of formal supports in our community.
And they don't know who to ask and where to go. So that exasperate the isolation.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that research tells us is that resilience to stress is a really important positive factor or protective factor for parents. Mm-hmm. And I suspect there's a lot of stressors in the lives of the families that you work with.
Yes, yes. You just hit it on the nail. That's the stress level from all areas. There's the financial, there's the language, there's not knowing where to go, there's not having who to lean on. There's just so much. Mm-hmm.
If you are just joining us, this is Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, along with Shirley Jones from HACAN, helping us understand the challenges facing immigrant parents in our community. So Shirley, let's talk about some solutions. First, for the immigrant parents themselves, what can immigrant parents do to seek help?
What usually happens is that they end up talking to someone in the schools. That's a good place to start. The people in the schools, the parent liaison in the schools, can refer them to parenting classes and different places that they can get help. Another place that helps is some hospitals, some clinics, tell them and refers them to what's available in the community. And then the churches. Churches are able to refer them again to what's available in the community. And the churches also helps the isolation by having them meet each other and talk about their problems.
And sometimes just that knowing that you're not the only one who's facing some of these challenges, that can make a big difference, right?
Yes.
I'm sure in your parenting classes, sometimes there are aha moments where sort of things click for parents or they get a new perspective. Can you talk a little bit about what are some of the important messages or aha moments for parents?
Well, before the aha moments, I must say to you that a lot of parents come to the program afraid. They're afraid mostly of Child Protective Services because they have the notion that their children can be taken away from them, which is another stressor. So they come to the program and we explain and we teach them and train them. And the aha moment comes when, oh, that makes sense. Where I'm able to explain, you know, the government does not want your children. They just want to make certain that the child is okay. And all you have to do is X, Y, and Z. And then it's, oh, okay, I can do that. So that's one of the aha moments.
Sure. So beginning to realize that asking for help maybe is a strength as opposed to something you need to be afraid of doing.
Right.
Great. And then you mentioned sort of three major institutions in our community, education, the schools, healthcare providers, and the church. As a community, we have both a responsibility to take care of the children and families around us, as well as our self-interest, because it makes our community stronger and more thriving. So how can other parents and community members or organizations provide support for the unique challenges that immigrant parents are facing?
Listening and being there, being available, a neighbor can get you a booklet from the DMV in Spanish and explain some of the things to you that you might not understand so that you can attain your driver's license and then go on from there. That's just one example of what's there. Also, parks and recreation areas, neighbors can explain to neighbors or invite an immigrant family to the park and show them the way. After that, they will get there by themselves.
I think sometimes we think it's just a language issue, but you're pointing out some examples of where it's almost sort of a culture or not knowing how to navigate some of those systems like DMV and parks and recreation. And so we can lend a hand that way, even if we don't speak their language,
right,
by helping open some of those doors. You mentioned also sort of the fear of Child Protective Services, and we hear a lot in the immigration debate that there may be fear about legal status kinds of issues. And I think oftentimes we've seen studies that suggest that immigrant families don't necessarily feel welcomed in their communities sometimes because of that trust factor. So how can communities sort of help address that distrust?
Slowly and carefully, but lovingly. It can be done lovingly. Inviting immigrant family, a mom and a child that plays with your child, to go to a movie, you know, and you go to the movie. Now that family knows where the movie is, and they will invite an immigrant family. That sort of thing, those sorts of things, just a little thinking and a little heart will do it every time.
That's a great example. You remind me, SCAN has been involved with playgroups for moms and their young children for many years. And oftentimes in the playgroups, we have immigrant parents from all over the world, not just Spanish-speaking countries, but all over the world. And they find that two-year-olds are two-year-olds in almost any cultural and language, right? And when the moms begin to realize that they face some of the same challenges, even if their language and their culture and their background and their experiences are different, being a mom of a two-year-old is still kind of about being the mom of a two-year-old, right?
Yes,
and you can
yes.
overbridge some of those mm-hmm. differences. I think you touched a little bit when you talked about the 10-year-old child in our original example about the fact that the children may adopt English skills and some understanding of the system more quickly than their parents, too. So how can families deal with that biculturalism within their own family?
The way we are dealing with it at HACAN is having a program of mutual respect. What we have seen happen is children, a 10-year-old, with a parent that doesn't know to read and write English, and sometimes not even the original language, Spanish, the 10-year-old adopts the American value where everybody in America can read and write. And so when he sees a parent that is not a reader or a writer, the child tends to disrespect that parent, devalue the parent. With that devaluation comes disrespect in the family. So we work with the fathers and mothers and the children to stay true to mutual respect. The fact that your dad does not read and write doesn't mean that he's stupid, and it doesn't mean that he's not important. He never had the opportunity, and that's why he's here with you, to give you that opportunity.
And sort of restore some of those power structures that
right.
need to exist in families
right.
until kids learn good judgment and
right.
gain some experience
mm-hmm.
in the world.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shirley, for joining us this morning. We're just about out of time. Is there a final message you wanted to leave with families?
Yes, I want to invite all families that have been here for a while to teach their new arriving families, show them the ropes, show them what's available. Show them the wonderful things about this country and help them maintain their cultural values and learn the new cultural values.
What a wonderful message to leave us with. Parents raising a first generation in the United States face a very special and difficult set of challenges. Obvious issues such as language barriers and lack of access to resources often mix with the more personal stresses of isolation, loss of cultural identity, and legal issues. This has been Parenting Today. I'm Sonia Quiñones from SCAN of Northern Virginia, and I want to thank Shirley Jones from Hispanics Against Child Abuse and Neglect for joining me to talk about this very important topic. Remember, every child and family matters. We all play a critical role in our communities, and we can each help families thrive. For more information about supporting immigrant parents, along with other parenting challenges, visit the SCAN website at www.scanva.org.